the opening words of that chapter that we read in the book of Proverbs, I trust, caught our attention. And it's proven to be true, I'm sure, many times in our lives. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Think of the times an argument was nipped in the bud when we turned the volume down or toned down our voice when speaking. How many of us remember being told, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me? And all of us know too well people who have all sorts of problems when they grow up because of the names they remember being called when they were growing up. So Paul's concerned that we who have had that spiritual heart transplant talk in a way that edifies and doesn't tear down. So we want to consider this morning edifying talk as he addresses that subject, especially in verse 29 of Ephesians 4. But again, we'll read verses 25 of that fourth chapter through the second verse of chapter 5. So if you haven't already turned in your Bibles to Ephesians 4, do so. If you're using the Bible in the pew, you'll find verse 25 on page 1244 of the pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 25 through 5:2. And let's listen as the Holy Spirit is pleased to write these words on our hearts, so that we will remember Jesus. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let's pray. Father, we come again to these verses, as we have in weeks past and will in weeks ahead, that we would be taught how it is that we who name the name of Jesus would reflect him in our lives. Especially be with us this morning as we consider the matter of edifying talk, so that we might be a people who know how to talk and instinctively talk edifyingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul maintains his pattern, the pattern that we've noticed week by week. He gives us an admonition for or against something, and then he gives us the reason for the admonitions. And in order for us, I hope, to better appreciate what he's saying to us about edifying talk, the admonition against something I'm going to say begins with the letter R, and the admonition for something will also begin with the letter R to hopefully help us remember better. The admonition against and the admonition for. Well, the first thing he gives us is an admonition against ruinous talk. The admonition against ruinous talk. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. If we do a word search on the word translated corrupting, we're driven back to the gospel writers and the specific teaching of our Savior himself. In fact, it's only in Matthew and Luke that this word is used, other than on this occasion by the Apostle Paul. Matthew and Luke record Jesus teaching about two kinds of fruit trees. Every healthy fruit tree bears good fruit, and the diseased fruit tree bears bad fruit, or if we're familiar with the King James, it bears corrupt fruit. And so Jesus compares this good fruit-bearing tree with this corrupt fruit-bearing tree. And he tells us that we will know the difference between these two kinds of trees by the fruit that they bear. And then Luke uses that same word, corrupt, when he speaks the parable of the net that Jesus talks to us about. The fishermen go out and they bring in those nets full of fish. And what do? When they come to shore? Well, they separate the fish, the good ones, from the corrupt ones. Most importantly, turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I want us to see how Jesus uses this business of good and corrupt. Verse 33. Matthew chapter 12, beginning there in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. And then he says this. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Good fruit, corrupt fruit. And from there he moves to our words. And what the Lord is going to do with our words on the day of judgment. And he says, those of you who face me on that day of judgment will need to give an account for every what? Every careless word that you speak. Now, if Jesus is concerned about every careless word that we speak on judgment day, and he goes on and he says, our words are that which will justify us or condemn us, it shouldn't surprise us that the Apostle Paul in writing to the saints, to you who are also the faithful in Christ Jesus, that our talk must be edifying. It must not be ruinous. Our faithfulness to Jesus Christ is attested to by the way we talk. The word literally means putrid, rotten. And certainly we understand that individually we may speak putrid, rotten words. But he's not fundamentally talking to us about how we speak individually as much as he's talking to us about how we speak corporately. How you all, how yins, speak one with another. It's the idea of one rotten apple does what? To the bunch. It makes it rotten. Now it's hard for us to conceive of this again in our society. Because over here we're very much individualists, aren't we? I do my thing, you do your thing, you keep your distance and I keep my distance. But here the idea is to you, the saints, to you who are faithful in Christ Jesus, to you, the body of believers, if one of you speaks putridly, it impacts the entire congregation. Paul's admonition against ruinous talk speaks to us only too often about the way we sometimes talk. Am I right? There are times we must confess that we fall prey to ruinous talk. Not like that first characteristic that the psalmist speaks about in the very first psalm of the blessed man. The blessed man is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Just as we're caught up short with Jesus' admonition regarding careless words, so we must confess that only too often we're caught up in ruinous talk. What's the antidote? What are we to do? Well, secondly, is the admonition for renewing talk. The admonition for renewing talk. How do we deal with ruinous talk? We replace it with renewing talk. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion. The whole idea of building up or edifying is at the heart in many ways of what Paul's all about in this letter to the saints, to those of us who are faithful in Christ Jesus. He writes back there in chapter 2, reminding those of us who are Gentiles that it's by the saving work of Jesus Christ that we become fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built up together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We who are in Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, are being built up, being edified in the body of Christ. How? When we talk edifyingly, one with the other. Earlier on in this fourth chapter, we're reminded in verse 12 that the pastors and teachers have been given to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. Your session is charged with the task of equipping you so that you will build one another up in Christ Jesus. As you're equipped to minister in the Jesus who has redeemed you by his blood. One of the ways that we build ourselves up to be a healthy and growing congregation is to speak, to talk renewingly one with the other. Now it's important to understand that the Apostle Paul is not fundamentally, though he indeed includes this, talking about our giving up coarse language, our giving up abusive language, our giving up unwholesome and injurious language. He's not simply talking about those of us who, by the grace of God, growing up apart from Christ, had a foul mouth, but when we came to know Jesus, we stopped using that kind of language. But he's also not talking about heeding Proverbs 17 and verse 28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. No, he's not simply telling us if we keep our mouths shut, people won't understand that we're really fools by opening our mouths. No, he's telling us that we must be about the business of using renewing talk one with the other. And we must do it according to the occasion. We must do it according to the need, or we must do it according to the duty that is before us. This word that's translated fit for the occasion is used in Acts chapter 6. In that account of the dispute that goes on between the Hellenists and the Hebrew women, because the Hellenist women aren't being treated as fairly as the Hebrew women who are widows are. And seven men full of the Spirit are set apart to take care of this dispute, this need, and carry out this duty that fits the occasion. If we're going to be given to the use of renewing talk, we must heed the injunction of James found in that first chapter and the 19th verse. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Listen. Listen carefully so that we can speak carefully, not carelessly. So that we can speak renewingly, not ruinously. And he's already dealt, has he not, with the matter of anger. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. We've dealt with be angry but sin not. We know what that's all about in Christ Jesus. Now we're putting on this idea of edifying talk. We are to be a conversational congregation, one with another, who speaks renewingly one with the other. Why? The reason for the admonitions, that it may give grace to those who hear. Paul admonishes against ruinous talk and admonishes for renewing talk so that out of the grace we enjoy at the expense of the triune God, we may give grace to those who hear. Paul uses this word grace no less than 12 times in this circular letter. Apostle of grace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his salutation. Our salvation is to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. We who have enjoyed the saving work of Jesus Christ in our lives, those of us who have experienced the richness of his grace, appreciate that we then may give grace to those who hear. Twice we're reminded it is by grace that we've been saved. In the second chapter, in the 7th verse, we read the immeasurable riches of his grace. If for the rights of the stewardship of grace, the gift of grace, that grace was given. And he concludes with that benediction, grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Grace drenches the words of this letter to the saints, to you who are also the faithful in Christ Jesus. Would to God that it could be said of each one of us here this morning, as it was said of Eliphaz, the Temanite, by Eliphaz, a Temanite of Job. Behold, you have instructed many. You have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling. And you have made firm feeble knees. 4th chapter. Verses 3 and 4. Those words said by Eliphaz of Job who experienced the loss of all those good and precious gifts he enjoyed from God Almighty. But Eliphaz remembers Job as a man whose words upheld those who were stumbling. Edifying talk is a characteristic of that one to whom Yahweh pointed Satan. Do you see my righteous Job? Notice how Paul visualizes it for us. No corrupting talk. Only edifying talk is that which characterizes those who have appreciated the saving grace of God in our lives. When we think of what Jesus did so that our mouths would begin to express our hearts. Because remember, Jesus says it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles us. It's what comes out of our mouths. Because we speak out of the abundance of our hearts. So the Apostle Paul is writing to us as people who have had heart transplants. And because we've had heart transplants, the ruinous talk that used to characterize us when we had those hearts of stone is no longer there, because now this heart of flesh is given to renewing talk. So that the grace that we enjoy in Jesus Christ flows from us in our conversation one with the other. But I've asked myself this question. What holds me back? And perhaps what holds us back from edifying talk? What holds us back from expressing renewing talk? What is it that tempts us and then we fall into ruinous talk? Well, I've thought of two reasons, and I'm sure you can think of plenty others. One of the reasons I'm often finding myself reluctant to use renewing talk is because I'm afraid that it will not have the result that I understand God would have it have. You know what I'm talking about. How many times have you been led by the Spirit of God because you've listened carefully to what someone has been saying, to give them the gracious word of God that meets the situation of which they're speaking, only to have it appear to fall on deaf ears? And so I sit back and I say, what's the use? But then I'm reminded, though God declares His splendor, His gloriousness, His Godhead, the spacious heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows forth His handiwork, His general revelation shouts of Him. What if He, knowing that when He had His words inscripturated, people wouldn't read them and listen, he decided, all right, let's just give them general revelation and not verbal communication. Where would we be? We'd remain dead in our trespasses and sin. Condemned sinners to hell. But no, knowing that it will fall on deaf ears, knowing that blind eyes will read the Bible, he nevertheless spoke through all the authors that he inspired to give us his very breath so that we might be enlivened by the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation. But he didn't stop there. In these last days, he's spoken to us in Jesus, his only begotten Son. And Jesus came and he lived that life of utter faithfulness and love for his Father to do what? To go to the cross. That he might speak his love and that of his Father and the Spirit as he took upon himself our sins. Knowing full well there would be many who would think it foolish. But salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, who shed his blood for his people that they might glorify God alone in their being saved. It didn't hold him back from speaking and sending those renewing words to us in Christ Jesus. So we don't hold back renewing talk. But there's a second reason that comes to mind. And the second reason addresses those who, sad to say, are identified with the Pharisees, the scribes. Well, really, you know, with the older brother in the parable that we call the prodigal son. Those who will seek to live a Christian life, do the things that Christians do, say the things that Christians say, go the places where Christians go. Why? In order to be good enough to be accepted by God. So we don't speak renewingly, we speak ruinously. Why? Because we have to always measure how well we're doing on the basis of how well someone else is doing. And we must always find someone else who's doing worse than we are, and so we bring those people to the attention of those around us. Because my salvation rests in what I do, not in Jesus. And so if I see somebody doing something that I don't do, I'm right there to say, Why? Because that feeds my idol of self-righteousness, my means of getting to heaven. And when someone comes to me and says, you know, it's Jesus Christ you need at the heart of your life, what do I do? I say, well, look at what you do. And we pick on some sin that's evident in that person's life. Why? Because we're feeding our own sense of works righteousness. The Apostle Paul has reminded us those of us who are in Christ Jesus, those of us who have repented of our sins and believe in Him, those of us who know the grace of God in our lives, that it's by grace we're saved, not as we compare ourselves to others. It's never out of the abundance of our righteousness that we go with words to speak to people who are listening. It's we go out of grace with words of grace. It's edifying talk that is renewing talk, that is upbuilding talk, that is talk which what? Points us afresh to Him who loved us and gave Himself for us, that we might draw on Him and His grace and righteousness, that we would live as He would have us live. By grace, through faith in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And so when we see a need, because we've listened, we don't clam up. We speak up. We speak up with renewing talk that points each other afresh to the one in whom we have our newness of life, Jesus Christ. We talk graciously one with another. How many of us just simply do not pay careful attention to others so that we are able to be used by the Holy Spirit to talk edifyingly to others? How many of us just simply don't trust God's word that it will not return void when we share it? How many of us just simply don't know God's renewing talk ourselves? Because we haven't closed with Christ unto our salvation. With those questions resounding in our hearts, surely you agree with me, a healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading talks renewingly, edifyingly, and appropriately, one with another. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this reminder of Jesus, and of what our lives are like when we're hidden with Him, in Him, and He in us. May we indeed be a people who are known as Jesus was known when He read from that scroll, Isaiah 61. And after reading, giving it back to the attendant, and sitting down and saying, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The crowd marveled at the grace that flowed from His lips. May people marvel at the grace that flows from our lips. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.